I'm going to finish this series here on worship. I've seen some biblical examples of worshipers. How many want to be a worshiper? One person. How many want to be a worshiper? We like to say, hey, I want to be a prophet. I want to be a pastor. I want to be an evangelist. I want to have all kinds of giftings. The greatest gift you can have is to be a worshiper. Okay, three of you agree with me. How many of you, is that something you're going to do forever? Is to worship Him. And I really believe that we need to learn how now. I said learn how now. In Luke chapter 1, I got some biblical examples here today of a worshiper. When it comes to Mary, how many of you, the mother of Jesus, she was a worshiper. When I look at her, God picked her. We don't worship Mary, but you know what? She must have been a pretty awesome young person when God chose her. Of all the women that could ever be, God chose her. How many think that deserves some honor? We honor that, we recognize that, but we don't worship her as God. Oh, it's quiet today. You can't pray to Mary to resolve your sins. Mary still needed a Savior. Mary was still born of flesh. Oh, say amen. How many knows this kicks over a few rocks and some people don't like it? But the truth is that you can kiss a million toes. How many knows that's not going to change one iota? You could run a million miles. That isn't going to change one thing. You need to be born again by God's Spirit. Jesus dealt with that and said, listen, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. But when it comes in Luke 1, look at verse 28. And having came in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you amongst women. When it comes to who worship Mary. Now the angel said this, hey, rejoice. You are a blessed lady. I would say amen to that. Now what if an angel came early in the morning over your house and talked to you? How many think that would startle you a little bit? Okay, nobody in here. You must have a lot of those visitations. Listen, when it comes to those things, I bet that day would change your life. And who would you tell when you went to work? Man, an angel came and talked to me today. Yeah. All of a sudden, an angel comes in Mary and says this, highly favored. Now, we all have flesh. I bet Mary was startled. Wouldn't you be? Oh, no big deal. Happens every day. Now the truth is that when she met, all of a sudden there's an angelic host. And it wasn't this little puttian you put on your dashboard. I believe angels are powerful. Amen? And archangels that were sent were warrior-style angels. How many knows that would be like, dude, come on. All of a sudden he speaks a word, you highly favored. What I love about this is heaven really knows what you're like. And so does the angelic host. And when it comes to them, they're not going to lie. That's why we all want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Then be well done, good and faithful. How many of us, we want to hear those words, but if we're not that, God's not going to lie. He's not going to start with us. That's good preaching. But God looks to say, I want to reward you. All of us in here have set some patterns. There are some good patterns in our life, and there are some patterns that need to change. Amen. How many of us, if we can change those patterns in Christ, it makes a big difference. Now here, I'm going to share something with you that is so carnal and basic. In my life, I've combed my hair. A lot of people don't comb their hair anymore. I comb my hair. Okay? Some of you don't need it. Praise the Lord. A little buff rag there. We're good to go. All right? Nothing wrong with that. But all my life, I put my comb in my right pocket. But then all of a sudden, we started to have phones we put in our pockets. And I stick my phone now in my pocket. So what would happen every time I'd pull my phone out, my comb would fall out. I must have lost a half a dozen of them. I couldn't figure out why, where's my comb at? Until one day I'm at home, I'm in the kitchen, I pull it out and it falls to the ground. So what I do is I had to take my comb and put it in my left pocket. Now this may seem so basic to you, but if you do it for 40, 50 years, it's a pattern. It isn't sin. It isn't some great spiritual revelation, but I needed to readjust it and put it on this side. Come on. I mean, those, there are some things we've always done it this way that needs to be changed at a greater degree. Sometimes you got to go back and say, no, I'm not doing it this way anymore. I'm not doing it. This is what I need to do. I need to have that devotion. I'm going to set it up. Not that I'm trying to plug God in a box, but I need it. How many of you need to set good patterns? For Mary, all of a sudden it came, boom, an angel comes. He speaks, rejoice, highly favored one. How many think that would blow you away? Who am I? All of a sudden an angelic host that I've never met before says I'm highly favored. That's pretty cool. I believe this with all my heart, that Mary had some character to it, that she could handle what was being spoken to her. Because sometimes if you build up certain folks, they take pride in it. And they think they're all that. Oh, nobody wants to believe that. Notice it says, the Lord is with you. Isn't that something we all want? That's the greatest testimony you can have. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. If that didn't build you up, ladies, I wouldn't know what. An angelic host is sent, says rejoice, you're highly favored, you're blessed amongst women, that should start to work in your spirit. Say amen? It's better than, oh, you dirty, rotten sinner, I don't know why I'm here to talking to you. I like Zoe. Zoe can handle it. Zoe plays so tough with the bass, she blew one up this morning. Look at verse 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. Look at verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed. Notice she said, be it unto me. God will never push himself on anyone. This union that's going to happen with her is not a normal union like a man and a woman in conception. What God is saying, if you'll believe the word, that word will be implanted in you and bring forth. It's the same faith that happens when you say yes to Jesus and you become born again. How many understand that? Notice she said, be it unto me according. When she said, Lord, I'm available for you, be it unto me according. Something happened right there. Faith all of a sudden came alive. God took that word and implanted it there, and Jesus gave birth. Isn't that cool? I mean, it's that awesome word. When we really believe what God says, things will manifest. Say amen. Notice she said, be it according to your word. The word impregnated her, just like we get born again. In John 1 verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Mary was just the vehicle Jesus was to bring forth Jesus, his body. She was the vehicle. God said, you're the vessel. I need to bring forth the flesh side here. And Mary said, I'll be it unto me. That's so cool. When I get to heaven, I'm going to thank Mary. She had to be a pretty awesome lady. I don't worship her, but I'll give honor where honor is due. Just like Eve, the first lady there, I'm going to thank her. Who told her about childbirth? Say amen. How many of us, when she said, I received from the Lord, I believe God was helping out in that situation. Come on. I mean, I was just missing some special people. Wouldn't it be fun to talk to David? No? Yeah? The prophets? And then they're going to be just as impressed. Because you've overcome by the blood of the Lamb. They can make this testimony. What was it like to live for God in that godless age? When disease were rampant all over. Come on. When your freedoms were taken away. They'll be just as impressed because they know in the latter days sin will abound, but grace will much more abound. Everyone will have a testimony, and each one will be powerful in its own generation. When it comes to God, He never pushes Himself on anyone. It always must be accepted. When Jesus said, "Listen to me, I've come that you might have life," we have to welcome that. When I look at Mary, she was one going to say, "I'm now pregnant, but I'm going to worship." Mary was a worshiper. She said, "Be it unto me." I rejoice in that. And knowing that, man, what's this going to mean? Who's going to believe? I believe that's why God appeared to Joseph too. Because if my wife said, "I've been impregnated by God," I'd have a couple questions. Say amen. It'd be like, man, you're going to have to do better than that. But God appears to Joseph in a dream and said, "Listen, what's conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Take her as your wife." I mean, God will speak on both sides. That's why if you're wondering if you hear the Lord and you're a couple, God will speak to you both. Oh, no thunderous amens there. How many of those hills do that? If God would have just spoke to Mary and all of a sudden she's pregnant and he didn't know about it, I mean, that would bring some tension. I mean, I think the engagement may be off. Oh, everybody don't think that way. I mean, there's some practical things we need to think. When I look at Mary, she's now pregnant. She now has that gift within her and she begins to travel. The first place she travels is to see Elizabeth. Elizabeth in Luke 1 verse 40. "And as she entered the house of Zacharias, Elizabeth greeted her. As it happened, when Elizabeth heard the sound of Mary's greeting, the babe that was in her leaped in her womb, and she was filled with the Holy Ghost." John was already 6 months into this pregnancy in Elizabeth, and now Elizabeth meets Mary, and inside her baby jumps. Amen? I've had times in my pastorate over the years where a lady's came forward wanted to pray over their baby before it was born. And I've seen babies jump inside the womb. You can feel it when God touches them. For Mary, all of a sudden, she comes in the door and now the sound of her voice, the babe inside leaps because now the Savior has come. He hasn't been born physically yet. But now the Savior is in the house. Hallelujah. You can't get any more pure than that. Both babes are in the womb and there's still things going on. Oh, that's good preaching today. When it comes to Jesus, she always, listen to me, Mary always looked to say, "I have the Christ." Elizabeth is saying, "Now I'm bearing the one who's going to go before him. Prepare the way." Both had important roles. And if you know John, the Bible says this, there wasn't a greater man born of a woman than John the Baptist. He had to be a pretty awesome dude. When I look at all those who were previous, Jesus said that. He didn't bow down. Listen, he never compromised, even when the religious folks hated it. He kept speaking the truth. We need those people again today. Have some strength in you. Somebody's not going to like you living for the Lord. You know what? Keep living for Him. Don't cower down. Don't say, "You know what? Yeah, I just want to have peace so and won't say anything." Come on, that's never going to change a world. It's only when somebody stands up. Now, I'm not trying to be rude, but sometimes just standing the truth in love, let it work. Somebody's not going to like it. I wonder how many church services Jesus would be kicked out of today. How many people would want to run him over or throw him off a cliff? It happened back in his day. What I love about it is Jesus never freaked out. He just walked out from among them. His time wasn't yet. Isn't that cool? That's power under control. Here's the next thing. He didn't need an entourage to protect him either. Oh. The anointing's not that fragile. Oh man, that's kicking over a whole lot today. The pastor's in love with the Lord. When it comes to Elizabeth, notice she wasn't jealous, but rejoiced over God's provision. Look at verse 45. Blessed is she who believes, and there's going to be a fulfillment of those things which is told her of the Lord. When you back up to verse 42, Luke 1:42, it says this, and she spoke out with a loud voice, blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Now all of a sudden, Elizabeth is speaking over God's provision, and she rejoices. Now I wonder how many would be jealous. I wanted to bear the Christ child. How can he pick her? Who is she from? Who is this girl? How many knows that could happen amongst women? Oh, no thunderous amens from women. How many knows people can get jealous over those things? Okay, I'll leave that alone. But Elizabeth didn't get jealous. She said, hey, I rejoice. Look at verse 46, Luke 1:46. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded my low estate. I love that. He's looked at me. I don't deserve any of this. But he's looked on me, and now he has blessed me. That spirit that was in her gave a vocal like expression of truly what was in her heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why we can't fake worship. Because truly what comes out, what is the abundance of those things? That's what's deep within there. Sometimes we have to change our own patterns in our life. Amen. Sometimes we need to look within, not around, not above, and say, God, I want to have understanding. I want to know. Worship is always in a place where it announces Jesus. These two women had a great revelation. I like this statement. Mary and Elizabeth knew more that was going on in the kingdom than the high priest of that day. Salvation conversations were taking place at a dinner table over Elizabeth's house. That's pretty good revelation, wouldn't you say? Who's going to believe Mary? Who's going to believe this lady? When we don't think God can move in homes or in private settings or in our own personal lives, here we go. But what God does privately, he always manifests publicly. It's never a private interpretation. Listen, when somebody says this, I only have the revelation, stop it right there. There is nothing new under the sun. Nothing. All in Scripture. If somebody has a new revelation and can't point back to here, I'm here to tell you it's probably from their own flesh, their own spirit, trying to spit it another way. Amen? A lot of people have been led astray by, hey, I have a new doctrine. Come follow me. That's how every cult starts. There's a portion of truth, then it ends up way in error. Is everybody quiet today, or are you just listening? When it comes to God, the birth of Jesus was not without struggles. We know Joseph had to deal with this. We know that he was going to be called illegitimate. You name it, every word that could be spoken against Jesus was going to come his way. But all this, listen to me, he reconciled. Said, God has spoke to me. When God speaks to you, you can handle a whole lot of stuff. You also can deal with when everyone else goes south, I'm still going north. Because God is with me. And what God speaks comes to pass. Amen? Are you enjoying this? Flip over to chapter 2 in Luke. Chapter 2. Who worship? The shepherds worship. Now this isn't a Christmas message. But shepherds were one looking and tending to the sheep. If the shepherds don't worship, there's a problem. If the pastor doesn't worship, there's a problem. Amen. I can't expect you to do something I don't do. And if I'm not leading by example, what am I doing? Next thing is, shepherds need to be in the field. Not just on the golf course. It's nice to have a little recreation. But how many of us, the schedule is people. And if you'll do this, be mindful of Phil Lachance. He is not doing well. So be praying for him. Okay? He's not eating well. His body is shutting down. So be praying for him. Would you do that, church? I met him last Sunday. Another thing, we'll go there. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, says they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over what? A shepherd watches the flock, and he watches even at night. That means he sleeps with one eye open. He's listening to make sure there's no rustling going on. As a church, I need you to be mindful of this. Because one of the ploys the enemy's going to try to do is seed churches with wolves. We have to be on guard to that. That a wolf will not show itself because it'll come in like a sheep. It'll look like a sheep, act like a sheep until it's tested and tried. Then the fangs come out. The next thing a wolf's going to do is grab its own little posse of individuals. Those that they can persuade and come, say, follow along with them. Watch out for those. I've seen it done with individuals, and I've seen it done with groups. We have to watch. Amen? The next thing is, they won't come near the shepherd. Afraid their deeds will be exposed. When people avoid me week after week after week, it gives me an indicator of what's going on in their life. I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to love you. But there's a spiritual side too. I've worked with real sheep. Sheep get burrs in their wool. Sheep need tending to. Because the wool is so thick, sometimes the burrs go real deep and you don't know they're infected because the wool is covering it. Until there's a great infection and it starts to bleed. Amen? If you've ever been away from the Lord and the Lord sheared you and brought you back, how many know sometimes they're a big fluffy ball and you see them when they're cut, they're little things. Well, look at you. I always crack up. Big old mama and all of a sudden now. Sometimes the Lord will trim you. Amen? Why they had staffs was not only to separate the goats and the sheep, it also bring comfort. Hello? That the sheep could get some comfort from the shepherd. And when the sheep learned the shepherd's voice, they won't follow another. Because there's a lot of voices today. And when Christians follow every voice, I'm here to tell you, they don't have a shepherd. I'm going to speak it like it is. Sometimes we act like we know so much when we're missing the great point. Unless you hear him, you're not hearing him. It's not hard to hear the Lord, but it spends time. You got to develop a listening ear. That means you do less talking and let him do a whole lot more speaking. Is that too straightforward? When it comes to shepherds, they were keeping watch of the flock. Look at verse 8. And behold, an angel of the Lord came before them. Again, angels were at work. Now they're outside. Doesn't say here. I believe it was a pretty awesome experience. Imagine lighting up, it was nighttime, boom, here's an angel. And the glory did this. It shone all around them and they were afraid. I would say amen. Wouldn't you freak out? You're out in the field, kind of dark. The only light you got is the moon, little stars. And the glory of God comes down. And here's what the angel said. Don't be afraid. I bring you great tidings, good news to all people. There's born today in the city, the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord. And you'll find him. Here's how you're going to find him. Wrapped, swaddling clothes in a manger. I mean, that's pretty awesome. The angel brings a message to him, and now all of a sudden, everything comes to a halt. It doesn't matter what else is going on in life. When you meet Jesus, you hear some great revelation, man, that's good news. I said, that's good news. In Luke 2, verse 13 and 14, suddenly there's a great multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and giving God glory to God in the highest. Amen. We get down to Luke 2, 15 and 16. When the angel's gone away, it says this: they made haste and found Mary and Joseph in the babe lying in the manger. They left the field and they went to the Savior. A pastor who just stays with the sheep won't receive all that he needs for those sheep. He has to go back to the Savior. No matter how much you come to service, and I want you here, you still have to go to the Savior. If God's using you to some capacity, you've got to get refilled. That tank has to be refilled by the Lord. Notice that they heard, they seen, and they went. That's a powerful thing. They didn't just believe the angels. That's nice. But they went and seen for themselves. That's why salvation is a personal thing. You've got to find out for you Christ is real. You can't live on mom or dad's faith. You have to have your own. Is this good this morning? These are individuals that worship. I don't have time to go through all this. But Simeon and Anna, when all of a sudden now that Jesus is brought in the temple, one of them had a promise that they wouldn't see death until they saw the Christ child. I mean, that's pretty awesome testimony. That means they stayed there faithful, and then all of a sudden this: I've seen the Christ. Lord, let me depart in peace. That's a great testimony. All of them worship. Everyone who comes in contact with Him will end up being a worshiper. It's how we know we're in His presence. All throughout Scripture, every just man, even the Apostle Paul, when he met Jesus, he was knocked off that horse. Glory, who are you, Lord? He didn't have that full revelation. I'm Jesus whom you persecute. His relationship started in that arena. But you'll find a few verses later, he was obedient to the things of God. Amen? And came one of the greatest apostles the world has ever seen or will ever see. When you meet with Jesus, he's always waiting for man. One thing we're going to do when we get there is worship. Well, what am I going to do when I get to heaven? Am I just going to float on a cloud? Am I going to have to stand in line like this big old production line hoping, okay, I got 1,000,006 years and I finally get to meet him? Now, Jesus will meet you. How blown away are you going to be when he comes and meets you? I mean, that'll just blow you away. And then you look over and you'll see David. You'll see. And then, oh, the King of Kings. What if in your dwelling place he comes over your house? How many will be blown away? How many will worship? How many will bow down and say, Lord, any crown you give me is because of you? See, that's what we have to have in our heart. When mankind meets God, worship begins. It's the start of all that they have. And it's like, oh, Lord, I need greater words to express who you are and how you are to me. Too many times if we avoid worship, we fall into those traps the enemy lays, that something begins to fill that area of our hearts. When we're full of worship, when we're full of God, it flushes that out. Now, when I was a kid, we drank from a hose outside on a spigot. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? How many remember, and maybe you can still, there are sometimes it tastes like the hose. Who can relate to that? I don't know what that taste is, whether it's plastic or it's rubber, but you kind of understand. But you still did it, didn't you? I'd pinch the hose and squeeze it and I'd drink it. I squirted everybody with it. That was fun. You made your own fun. Right? Well, you ever let that thing go and it blasted in your mouth? I mean, there's a point where it was too much. But what I love about the Lord is taste and see that He's good. You'll always have enough to be filled. And when you're filled, you're satisfied. And when you're satisfied, you're not looking for anything else. I'm satisfied. And God is good. Christians need to learn to be satisfied with their God. If we do, we won't look for anything else. I've drinking of drink, you know, not of. I used to witness that way to guys at work. They would tell me how they pounded them down on Friday and Saturday, hangover on Sunday, come in dragging in on Monday. I used to just lead them like that big time. Man, I had the best tasting wine this week. You? I go, yeah. Jesus said, taste and see that he is good. Ah! It's a new wine. And I'm not drunk either. Ah, they'd come apart. It just like dropped a bomb in the midst of all of them during break room. It didn't matter. You're going to talk about me? I might as well give you something to talk about. Until they needed prayer. And privately they'd come to you. Until their family needed prayer, they asked you to go to the hospital and pray for their family. Amen? I worked at this one place. This guy was, he's just kind of a hard guy, real hard. And he's always antagonistic. His father got ill. And he came up to me during break time, this job I had. Said, you know what? Would you come and pray for my dad? And I, in just a flash moment, I kind of remember all the evil things he spoke about me. Oh, you're all perfect in here. It's just like a flash of all the things, the thoughts, the comments, the actions, the ridicule. They kind of just went real quick to me. And I said, okay, I'll do it. I could have made up an excuse. I could have said no. That evening at 6 o'clock, I went, I'll meet you at the hospital. They had their family up there, and his father was hooked to all the machines. I'm not a doctor or nurse, but some of them were backing up. I could tell it was septic. And he couldn't talk with a mask on, but he was comprehending. I said, listen, I'm going to pray for you. And for the first time in my life, I didn't give a rip who was in the room. Whether you liked me or you didn't, because it didn't matter. I didn't know half the family, but I knew him. I said, I'm going to pray for you, but you're dying. It doesn't take a prophet to figure it out. But would you like to get your life right with the Lord? And he does this. He starts to let me know. I go, blink if you can understand me. Blink twice if you want to pray. That's all he could do. He couldn't move his head, couldn't do any of that. And I pray with him. I grabbed his hand. In the whole room, it felt like everybody was a mile away. It's like God came down and I prayed with this gentleman. I never met him before. I only knew of his son. And when he opened up his eyes, I go, did you mean what you prayed? He's like this. I said, do it three times if you say yes. How many think that there were tears in the room? There wasn't an unbeliever in the room after that. And who was I? I had to overcome all the anger, all the ridicule, all the negative things to take that step. I mean, God was doing more in me than him. Say amen. How many opportunities did we miss out? When people ridiculed Jesus, he still loved them, still spoke the truth to them. And many Pharisees became obedient to the faith after the resurrection. We also. Well, you know what? When I got back in my car, Lord, I thank you for saving that gentleman. Amen? Next day, I came to work. This gentleman comes up to me. He's like was there before I got there. And I'll never forget, he went around to all the employees. And I loved it. He goes, I never want you speaking evil of that guy again. That guy came and prayed for my dad. He was one of the greatest witnesses in the whole... I didn't have to say a thing. He told them all what God did. How many of you was just like Mary when Jesus said, go and sin no more. And she went around sharing all that God did. Mary Magdalene, demons were cast out of her. She shared what God did. It's amazing when you take a step, and believe me, you may be hurt in the midst of it, but don't allow that to stop you. Take a step because the greatest miracle is right next door. Everybody with me? I'm nothing special. But when you fill yourself with the worship, there's not a room, whole lot of room for everything else. Hallelujah. Enjoy this morning. How many want to be a true worshiper? Let's lift our hands towards heaven. I know you do. Can I pick him up? We're going to close in prayer, okay? A little slobber on my coat, but that's all right. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you, Lord, that we'll be worshipers. That, Lord, all that we do, Lord, is we've seen Elizabeth, we've seen Mary, we've seen Simeon, we've seen Anna, we've seen the wise men, we've seen the shepherds. They all worshipped. And, Lord, we put our name there too. Father, for this young life, Lord, I have in my hands, I pray in the name of Jesus, your hand to be mighty upon. That, Lord Jesus, you'll move. Lord, move in this heart. Move, Lord God. Change, Lord God, every situation. Lord, line up for your glory and strength. A powerful witness to come forth. Another generation serving you. And Lord, for us as we leave, Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to work in our hearts. Lord, if there's any pattern that needs to change, help us to change it according to your riches and glory. Now stretch your hands towards this little one. Father, I pray for another generation to rise up and call you blessed. Lord, give mom and dad wisdom. Lord, grandparents wisdom. Lord, the uncles, the aunts here, Lord God, wisdom. Lord, in raising this little one, that we declare another generation rising up and call you blessed. Lord, start it here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Little.